Our Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together again. Meet our needs today. Direct our footsteps, we pray. Give us that anointing that will enable us to understand the word of the living God. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, that portion of the Word of God that we were discussing when we left you the last time. Now, actually, we are studying the book of the Revelation, the 20th chapter, which has brought to our attention the millennial reign of Christ. But we have been discussing certain conditions which will exist during this period of time called the millennium. We said there were many passages of Scripture to which we might turn, which would enable us to understand these various conditions. But we said we chose to look at Isaiah chapter 2. As we look at Isaiah chapter 2, we discovered that the Lord Jesus Christ will be ruling over a renovated and changed earth, because we are told that Mount Zion, the hill of the Lord, will be made taller than all the mountains round about the city of Jerusalem, because on Mount Zion will be built the temple of God, described in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 47. We discovered that great crowds of people will go up to this temple for worship on an annual basis, that individuals would be saying to one another, "Come and let us go up to Jerusalem to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ would have to say to us." We also learned that there will be no war during this period of time, because the Lord Jesus Christ will not only teach the Word of God from the city of Jerusalem, he will judge among the nations. According to verse 4, will rebuke many people, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. We suggested to you that this is the only time that war will cease to exist upon the earth. This 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah describes the conditions, then, that will exist during the millennial reign of Christ. The city of Jerusalem, the center of the world's attention, the Lord Jesus Christ himself there to teach us the word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself there to rule and to reign and to keep peace in the world so that there will be no need for arms of any description. Now, after this brief review of Isaiah chapter 2, we would ask you to turn with us to Isaiah chapter 11. We read from verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. This passage of Scripture, all Bible scholars agree, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rod out of the stem of Jesse, and he is the branch that grows out of his roots. When the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, did he smite the earth with the rod of his mouth? Did he slay the wicked with the breath of his lips? Not at all. He came meek and lowly, riding upon an ass. He submitted himself to the anger of men and was crucified and was buried as what many people felt was a martyr for a forsaken cause. But He is coming back, and when he comes back, he is going to rule the earth with a rod of iron. You will notice verse 5, please. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. As we are going to see in this passage of Scripture, his dominion will not only be over the human race, but it will be over the animal kingdom as well. Changes are going to be wrought in the animal kingdom itself, so that we can read in verse 6 of this chapter, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. You will notice the last statement of that verse, which is a general characteristic of the conditions of the earth when the millennial reign of Christ is established. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Everybody will know about the Lord Jesus Christ during the millennium. Everybody will know that he is in the city of Jerusalem. Everybody will know that he has an opportunity to go up there and let him teach personally the Word of God. Not everybody knows the Lord now. There are more heathen in the world today than there were when we first began to proclaim the message. But during the millennial reign of Christ, everybody will know the Lord is there, and his benign influence will change all creation. You will notice in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Can you imagine a wolf and a lamb living in the same stall now? Can you imagine a leopard lying down with a baby goat? Somebody says, well, the only time that it would happen now would be when the goat was inside the leopard. And I am inclined to agree with that. But during the millennial reign of Christ, the leopard and the kid will lie down together. The calf and the young lion and the fatling will all play together, and we read, a little child shall lead them. Will you permit me to digress long enough to say something about what I always have to say when I come to this passage of Scripture? It bothers me tremendously that this passage of Scripture is so misused. How many times have people quoted this Scripture to prove that a little child can lead people to Jesus Christ, that a little child can lead wayward fathers and mothers to do what God wants them to do? Now, we are all aware that God can use little children to break the hearts of hard-hearted fathers, and we are aware that little children many times can reach the hearts of people that grown men cannot reach. But don't, please, let's twist the Scripture to prove that. Don't let's say that the Bible says a little child shall lead them. Because this passage of Scripture is not talking about a little child leading somebody to Christ. It is talking about a little child leading a lion around as a pet. And that is all in the world that it does mean. During the millennial reign of Christ, pets will be lions, leopards, and things that are not ordinarily pets today. Now, will you notice verse 7? The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, lions are wild, ravenous beasts, bloodthirsty. But during the millennial reign, even the natures of animals will be changed, and lions will be quite content to eat straw. Can you imagine a lion eating straw now? All this is the effect of the righteousness of Christ upon the earth. Notice verse 8. The sucking child, that is the nursing child, the child of two or three years of age, because children were not weaned until they were four in the day in which Isaiah was speaking, the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp, which is a poisonous little creature of the reptile family. A little child can play all around the hole of an asp, but nobody's going to run and grab him up and say, look out now, you'll get bitten and die. The weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Why? Because they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now some dear children of God, in my estimation, wrongly interpret the scriptures which tell us that we are in the millennium. If we are, I wonder why we have so many rattlesnakes around here, and I wonder why we have to have antidotes for venom close by when we hunt those rattlesnakes if the millennium is already here. Beloved, we are not in the millennium yet, but the Word of God promises that we will be by and by, and we rejoice in that.